Amen. All right, well, we're there in Ephesians chapter number 5. And of course, this week we are celebrating Thanksgiving, and I wanted to bring a Thanksgiving type sermon to you this morning. And of course, I don't know if you know it or if you're aware of it, but Thanksgiving is a very biblical holiday. The Bible speaks a lot about Thanksgiving and giving thanks. And we're there in Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like you to look down at verse number 19. And I want to begin this morning by just kind of explaining this, that in the Bible, being thankful is actually associated with being a mature Christian or a spiritual Christian. Ephesians 5:19 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, and I'd like you to keep your place there in Ephesians. We're going to leave it, and we're going to come back to it. But I want you to flip over to Colossians chapter 3, if you would, and just keep your finger there in Ephesians. We're going to go back and forth. But go to Colossians chapter 3. If you're in Ephesians, you've got the book of Philippians, and then Colossians. So Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. I want you to notice that in Colossians 3, we have what we would refer to as a parallel passage. And it's a passage in a different book that deals with the same thing and often has the same wording. And if you notice there in Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. In Colossians 3:16, it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So I want you to notice that Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19 are very similar in their wording. They're both talking about a mature Christian that has the word of Christ dwelling in them richly and always them teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here's what's interesting about that. In the context of Colossians 3:16, the verse before that, in verse 15, the Bible says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Notice what he says, and be ye thankful. The way that that phrase is laid out, it's laid out as a command. You are being commanded. We are being commanded to be thankful. And he says, be ye thankful. And that is the context that we find verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, I want you to notice the context there. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Notice verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to notice, and I want you to understand. It's not a coincidence that the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3:16 to have the word of Christ dwelling in our hearts richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. And right before that, he says, be ye thankful. And then in Ephesians 5, we're told the same thing, speaking to yourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And then in verse 20, he says, giving thanks. And here's the point that I want you to understand. In the Bible, being thankful or being having a thankful attitude is associated with being a joyful Christian, a mature Christian, a Christian that is happy. Now, you're there. If you kept your place in Colossians, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In Colossians, you've got, after Colossians, you've got 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, from Colossians, 1, 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy. And let me just explain this to you. Not only does the Bible associate being thankful with being a content, joyful Christian, but it also associates being unthankful with being an unspiritual person. You're there in 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Notice, unthankful, unholy. So here we're told, you know, someone that's good, someone that's loving the Lord in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, they're going to be giving thanks always for all things unto God. They're going to be thankful. And then he says, someone who is focused on themselves, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient. He said, those people are going to be unthankful and unholy. And you don't have to turn here. I'll read for you out of Luke. If you wouldn't mind, go to 1 Thessalonians 5. You're there in 2 Timothy, so just go back to 1 Thessalonians 5. While you turn there, Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, this is what Jesus said. He says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. And here's what he said. He said, for he, referring to God the Father, is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And I want you to understand this, that in the Bible, being thankful is associated with being spiritual, and being unthankful is associated with being unspiritual. And this is the reason, that we are commanded to be thankful. Are you there in 1 Thessalonians 5? Look at verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Notice what the Bible says. Very clear. In everything. In everything. Everything includes everything. Everything is good, everything is bad, everything is what we like and what we don't like. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 20. I love how it's worded in Ephesians 5:20. I love the way that the Apostle Paul, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, how he worded it. He said, giving thanks always for all things. The same idea as in everything give thanks. He says giving thanks, not sometimes, but always. Not once a year, but every day of the year. Giving thanks always, you say, for the good things, right? No, for all things. The good, the bad. He says, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why I'm explaining to you, Thanksgiving is a very biblical holiday because of the fact that those of us who are saved and those of us that are choosing to not only believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, but also want to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and apply biblical teaching to our lives, the Bible commands us to be thankful. So it's good to have a holiday where we can take some time and on purpose focus in on the idea of Thanksgiving. Now, here's what I'd like to do this morning, and all of that was introduction. I hope that's okay. Go to Philippians chapter 4. You're there in Ephesians. You're just going to flip one book over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And here's what I'd like to do this morning. I want to give you 3 points or 3 reasons regarding the benefits of gratitude. Why is it that God commands us to be thankful? And the reason for this command is this, that being thankful makes you better. Being thankful is a benefit to you. It helps you. There are benefits to gratitude, and I'd like to give you this morning 3 thoughts in regards to the benefits of gratitude. I'd encourage you to write these down. If you've got if you don't have a baby sitting on your lap or something like that, you've got a place to take notes on the back of your course of the week. We'll do this quickly this morning. Number one, what are the benefits to gratitude? Number one, showing gratitude helps you feel pleased. And what I mean by that is it helps you feel pleased with your life, meaning satisfied or content, the opposite of being displeased with your life. Are you there in Philippians 4? Look at verse number 11. This is a great passage. There's lots of passages in the Bible about contentment. I preached a lot about contentment, but I'll show you probably the main passage on contentment in the Bible, which contentment is being satisfied, not being displeased, being satisfied or content with your life. Philippians 4:11, notice what Paul said. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. Now, the word want there is a desire. And he says, I'm not speaking in respect of something that I desire or something that I want. Because here's the point. When you want something, you are dissatisfied, you are discontented, you are displeased. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, for I have learned. And I want you to notice that. The emphasis is on instruction. He said, I have learned. This is not something that happened to me. This is something that I did on purpose. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And here's what I want you to understand. When it comes to contentment or satisfaction, and you might ask, well, how do you know if you're content and how do you know if you're satisfied? You ought to, consider how thankful are you for the things in your life? How thankful or grateful are you for the blessings in your life? Because here's what Paul said. He said, I have learned something about contentment. He said, what I learned is that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And therein lies the great secret to contentment. And the secret to contentment is this, that contentment is not connected to your circumstances. Today, people have this idea, and it's not just today, it's every day, it's just mankind, it's how we're wired. We have this idea that if we could just make everything outside of us right, then the inside of us will be right. If we can get everything outside of us to be happy, then we will be happy. That if we can get the circumstances, and, you know, my wife and I, over 9 years of ministry, we've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people, and it comes in a lot of different shapes and a lot of different sizes. But it all comes down to this. People get this idea in their head that if I could get this thing outside of me to be right, then I will be happy on the inside. And whether it's if I could get this one job, if I could get this one raise, if I could get this one benefit, if I could get this one promotion, if I could just live in this location, if I could just live in this type of car or house or drive this type of car, whatever it is, they have this idea, if I could just marry this one person, whatever it is, and they've decided, if I can just get this outside thing right, then I will be happy. But that is the great deception of contentment, because contentment is not connected to your circumstances. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Notice what he says in verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He says, look, I can be down and be content. I can be up and be content. He says, I have learned both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Notice what he says. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Notice the emphasis. This is something you learn. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You say, how do you do that? Well, notice what he says in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And here's all I'm telling you. The secret to contentment is realizing that it's not connected to your circumstances. And you can sit there and say, if I could only live, if I could only go, if I could only have, if I could only be, if I could only be with, and you can get all your little thoughts and ideas, I'll be happy once. But please mark this down, and please understand this. Just mark it down. When you get that, you will probably still not be happy. You'll still complain. You'll still be upset. You'll still be depressed. Because contentment is not connected to your circumstances. And look, if you don't believe me, just look at all the celebrities in our country. With all the fame and all the wealth and all the beauty that they could have. And what are they doing? Committing suicide. What are they doing? Destroying their lives with drugs and alcohol. Why? Because the outside circumstances are not what brings contentment. Contentment comes from the inside. See, discontented people will be displeased anywhere and everywhere, and content people will be pleased anywhere and everywhere. That's why I like the quote we had in the bulletin there. Gratitude turns what you have into enough. Because showing gratitude helps you feel pleased. It helps you feel satisfied. Let me read for you from an article. This is an article entitled, 7 Scientifically Proven Benefits of Gratitude That Will Motivate You to Give Thanks Year-Round. And this is written by scientists and the psychological type people, but I thought it was interesting. I always think it's funny how the world will eventually catch up to the wisdom of the Bible. This is an article from Forbes.com, and I just like to read this to you. I thought it was interesting. They give you 7 benefits to gratitude, and here's benefit number 6. Gratitude improves self-esteem. A 2014 study published in the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology found that gratitude increased athletes' self-esteem, which is an essential component to optimal performance. Other studies have shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons. Rather than becoming resentful towards people who have more money or better jobs, which is a major factor in reduced self-esteem, grateful people are able to appreciate the other people's accomplishments. And the point is this, that when you choose to be grateful, when you choose to be thankful, when you choose to look at things that you have been blessed for and be thankful for what you have and be thankful for what others have, you will grow to be satisfied and content. But as long as you're chasing that carrot, and if I just get that one carrot, I'll be happy. You'll be chasing a carrot for the rest of your life. So what are the benefits to gratitude? Well, showing gratitude helps you feel pleased, satisfied, the opposite of dissatisfied, content, not discontented. You're there in Philippians 4, I want you to notice down in verse number 8, but let me give you point 2 before we move before we read it. Here's point number 2. Number 1, showing gratitude helps you feel pleased. Number 2, showing gratitude helps you be positive. What do you mean by that? It helps you feel hopeful and optimistic about life. You ever been a negative person? People are just always negative. Everything's always wrong in their life. They're always going through something. It's like, does anything good ever happen to you? Good night. You're always moping around. You're always sad. You're always going through some trial. Look, I get it. We go through trials. But when you're going through a trial every week, it's like, good night. You know, don't talk to me. You're going to get me down. You know, you say, what's up with those people? You know, Mr. Negative, Mrs. Negative, Mr. Mopey, Mrs. Mopey. Oh, everything's always bad. Everything's always terrible. I'm always going through something. What's wrong with those people? You know what's wrong with those people is their thought life. Are you there in Philippians 4? Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, notice what Paul said. Now remember, Philippians 4, 8 is before what we just read, Philippians 4, 11, 12, and 13. This leads into the context of contentment. Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, notice, think on these things. Do you know that what you think about will affect who you are and how you act? I mean, didn't Peter say, I can but speak the things which we have seen and heard? And the truth is this, that if you find yourself constantly being negative, constantly going through something, listen, it gets old after a while. Just realize that. It gets annoying after a while. If you're going through something, then go through something. But if you're just always going through, you're just that person, eventually you're just like, good night. And here's the point, that you are what you think. Showing gratitude helps you be positive. And negative people focus on negative things. And Paul says, look, if there are things that are true, if there are things that are honest, if there are things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise. He says, look, if there's anything good and if there's anything to praise God about, then think on these things. Then think about these things. Go to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely find the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 23. While you go there, let me read for you from this another article. Here's an article from Health Harvard Educational Center. It's entitled, Giving Thanks Can Make You Happier. Here's what they said. Two psychologists, Dr. Robert A. Emmons of the University of California, Davis, and Dr. Michael E. McCullough of the University of Miami, have done much of the research on gratitude. In one study, they asked all participants to write a few sentences each week, focusing on their particular topics. One group wrote about things that they were grateful for that had occurred during the week. A second group wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And the third wrote about events that had affected them with no emphasis on them being positive or negative. After 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more and had fewer visits to physicians than those who focused on sources of aggravation. They go on to say this, with gratitude, people acknowledge the goodness in their lives. In positive psychology research, gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. And here's all I'm telling you. These psychologists are figuring out what Paul knew from a long time ago, and it's this, when you focus on the positive, you become positive. Proverbs 23, look at verse number 7. Notice what the Bible says. This is Solomon, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisest man probably ever walked on the earth. Proverbs 23, verse 7, notice what he says. He says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Isn't that interesting? Solomon says, look, the way you think in your heart, the things you focus on in your heart, the things you decide to keep your thoughts on, that's what you will be. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is He. Go to Isaiah 26. You're there in Proverbs. You've got the book of Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah 26. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And here's the thing. When you think in your heart on the things that are true, on the things that are honest, on the things that are just, on the things that are pure, on the things that are lovely, on the things that are of good report, on the things that have virtue, and the things that require praise, when you think of those things, that's what you become. But when you think of all the negatives, when you think about all the bad things and all the hurt and all the disappointments, then you know what you become? That's what you become. When you focus on the negative, you become negative. When you focus on the positive, you become positive. So showing gratitude helps you be a very positive and hopeful and optimistic person. Isaiah 26, look at verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. This is being spoken about God. You say, I'd like that. I'd like to have perfect peace, complete peace, mature peace. That's what the word perfect means in our King James Bible. I'd like to have peace during the storms of life, during the troubled times, during the trials and tribulations. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace when everything lines up properly in their life. Is that what it says? When they finally live in that house that they think that will make them happy, or when they finally get that job. Look, he says, whose mind is stayed on thee. Notice how perfect peace is connected to your mind. And what your mind is stayed on or fixed on. When your mind is stayed on God, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee? Because he trusteth in thee. And here's all I'm telling you. You say, we got Thanksgiving coming up. What's so great about it? Well, turkey's great. But you know what? When you go ahead and enjoy the turkey and enjoy the mashed potatoes and enjoy all of that. But also take some time this week to be thankful. Because there are some benefits to gratitude. You say, what are they? Well, showing gratitude helps you feel pleased with your life, satisfied and content. Not dissatisfied and not discontented. Showing gratitude helps you be positive, hopeful, and optimistic about life and not negative. Let me give you a third one this morning. Go to Job chapter number 2. You're there in Proverbs. If you head back, you've got the book of Psalms, and then you've got the book of Job. Job chapter 2. And while you turn there, let me read to you again from this article. I'm going to go back to the 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. This is from Forbes.com. Let me give you number 7 on their list. Gratitude increases mental strength. Here's what they said. For years, researchers have shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. A 2006 study published in Behavior Research and Therapy found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. A 2003 study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that gratitude was a major contributor to resilience following the terrorist attacks on September 11th. Recognizing all you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times of your life, fosters resilience. And what they found is that when you are thankful and when you are grateful, it will play a major role in overcoming trauma. What's interesting about that is that that is modeled for us in the life of Job. Remember Job? We won't take the time to read Job chapter 1. We could read Job 1 and Job 2, but here's what you know about Job. Job was a good man. He was a perfect man. He eschewed evil. He loved the Lord. He walked with God. And God put him through a time of trial and testing. Literally, not punishment, but just testing him, making him better, and helping Job become. And Job understood this. Job said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. And if you read the story of Job, and here's the thing. You've got things you've gone through, and you've got issues you've dealt with, and those are real, and those aren't legit. But you know what? Job's were real, and Job's were legit as well. He lost all his financial success. He was a rich, wealthy man. He lost all of it in one day. He was blessed by the Lord with many children. They all died in one day. And then he lost his health. And then his wife turned on him. Then his friends turned on him. And things probably got as bad for Job as they've gone for anyone who's ever lived. And I want you to notice something that Job says in Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still remain thine integrity? Curse God and die." And I always like to stand up for Job's wife a little bit. I realize she said some negative things here, but just realize she just lost all her children too. And she has lost all her possessions as well. And she's going through a difficult time as well. And she doesn't deal with it as well as Job does. In fact, she advises Job to curse God and die. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." And then he says this. He says, what? "Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. You know what's interesting about Job is that he had a good understanding of all of the blessings that he had received from God. He had a good understanding of all the blessings that he had already received. And when things began to go wrong and when things began to fall apart, he said this, "Look, if we receive good from the hand of God, if we receive good at the hand of God, shall we not receive evil?" And here's all I'm telling you. That showing gratitude not only helps you feel pleased, and showing gratitude not only helps you be positive, but showing gratitude helps you have perspective, have context, and be objective in regards to your life. Because here's the truth. Even when you've gone through very negative things, you have been blessed in your life. And if we took the time, like we sang this morning, to count our blessings and name them one by one, I would venture to say that you have a lot more blessings than you've had cursings. You've had a lot more positives in your life than you've had negatives. And I really, you talk to people like this, and they're like, "Well, I can't think of any." You woke up this morning, didn't you? I mean, you woke up, you got dressed, you came to church. You have people around you that love you and care for you. You've got the world's greatest pastor. I'm just kidding, you know. You've got a great church. You've got, you know, people around you that care for you. And here's all I'm saying is that when we go through difficult times, if we are thankful, like Paul said, in all things, in everything, everywhere, if we maintain an attitude of gratefulness, then we, like Job, can say, "You know what? Things are not going well right now. And we're receiving some evil things from the Lord, but we've received some good things too." Amen. And shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Go to James chapter 1, the end of the New Testament. You've got the book of Revelation. If you go back, you've got Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd, 1st Peter, James chapter 1. The truth is this, you've been blessed. You've been blessed, and you can sit, if you wanted to, you could sit and write a very long list of all your blessings. And showing gratitude helps you have perspective. Because when we focus on the negative, when we focus on that which is wrong in our lives, when we focus on that which is not going well, we seem to think that everything's wrong and nothing's going well. But when we're grateful, we gain perspective and we realize, wow, I've been blessed. I truly have received good at the hand of God. James chapter 1, we look at these verses a lot. And I want you to see him, and it's good verses for this season, this holiday season we're getting into. James 1:16, the Bible says this, "Do not err." It's interesting to me that James says this, because as a pastor, I would say this to some of you. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err in thinking that everything in your life is bad. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And here's what I know. You have been blessed by God. You have been blessed by God. And when you show gratitude, when you take the time to acknowledge, to think, to consider, and to appreciate and be thankful for what you've been given, you will gain perspective, like Job, and say, "We have received good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" You will become a positive person as you think on these things. And you'll become pleased and satisfied and content. And that doesn't mean that everything's right, but it means that you have what you need and you are not in want. Go back to Ephesians if you would. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. I just want to leave you with this little phrase. The Apostle Paul says, I love how he words it. He says this, give thanks. And I want to encourage you, this Thanksgiving, give thanks. See, I don't know how to do that. Things are not going well in my life. Give thanks always for all things. The bad things. The good things, of course. All the time, all of the time. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that this week, you'll take time to be thankful. You'll enjoy the food and the fellowship, and you'll enjoy all of that, but you'll maybe take some time on your own or with your spouse or with your children, if you have children, and you'll take some time to be thankful because there are benefits to gratitude. You'll become content and positive, and you'll get context to the trials of your life. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have this time. And Lord, I do thank you for allowing us to be able to have this holiday where we focus in on thankfulness and thanksgiving. And Lord, I realize that sometimes people go through some difficult things. I get it. And I'm not minimizing what they go through, and I'm not minimizing what they're dealing with. But we always have something to be thankful for. And let us learn to be thankful. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray you'd help us with that. Help us to be thankful. And help us take this holiday to really sit down and be grateful. Not only to you, but to those who have been a blessing in our lives. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.